Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And let's begin reading. We'll start in verse 1, and I'll just read through a few verses to our text verse, and need to be done. I really don't have to say I won't be long, because I have to finish at a certain time tonight. So I'll be done when it's time to be done tonight. Matthew 14, verse 1. Let's look down at it. It says, "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, 'This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him.' For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.' So John the Baptist called out Herod, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet." So King Herod was scared to execute John the Baptist because the people loved him. Look down at verse 6. "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, 'Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger.' And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John the Baptist in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." This is where we'll take our text from verse 13. "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." It said in study that the reason Jesus departed by ship unto a desert place apart, he'd obviously been preaching and people had been getting saved and he'd been telling parables and people had been coming to him and believing that he was the Messiah. And it says when he heard of it, when he heard that John the Baptist, his friend, was killed, he said he's departed thence. Many people have said that it was out of sorrow, out of sadness, that he just went to a place alone. Many of us, when we're hurting, sometimes it's nice to just kind of get away for a little while and get apart. And it says, "He went by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." And look at verse 14. This is where we'll take our text from tonight. We're going to just look at some things that Jesus did that we need to do as well. Verse 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." In that verse, there are four phrases separated by commas. Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I want to take the next few minutes and just look at what Jesus Christ did, and really just bring a message to you tonight about the importance of reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. The importance of getting into our city and in our workplace and in our community and in our neighborhood and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. What did Jesus do first? Look at the first phrase there. Number one, Jesus went forth. He had gone off into a place alone, a desert place, to mourn over the loss of his friend, but the people followed him. They found out where he was going, and they followed him. And it says that Jesus, he went from his lonely place, he went from his place alone, and he went forth to the people. He got out of the comfort zone. Folks, we need to go out. We need to get out of our comfort zone, out of our place of security, and go out as Jesus did. We need to go out. There's time to go out in our church, scheduled organization time of soul winning, Saturdays at 11 a.m. We obviously have a bus ministry here as well that you can be involved in reaching people. But we must go out. It's not just about Saturdays at 11. It's not just about on the bus ministry on Saturdays and Sundays. But as Christians, making it a point, ingraining it into our minds and our hearts that we must always, always, always be soul sensitive. Every person that we come into contact, every single person that we come into contact with, heaven or hell. That's the truth. Heaven or hell. Every single person. I'm here tonight with fellow believers. Hey, I can look around and say heaven, but you know what? I can go to Meijer tomorrow and every single person I pass by, heaven or hell, heaven or hell. We must go out. We are commanded in the Bible 42 different times. The Bible says, go ye. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. We are commanded to go. You know what, folks? Lives won't be changed unless we're going out. Souls will not be saved unless we're going out. Hurting people won't find relief in Jesus Christ if we are not going out. Listen, there's a need. There is a need for the gospel in this generation today. There's always been a need for the gospel. But it seems as years go by, and many of you have been around longer than I have, and you say yes, as years go by, it seems that there is a greater and greater and greater need for the gospel of Jesus Christ in this lost world. In this dying world, there's a need for Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a little boy out there somewhere from a broken home that has no hope. There's no hope. And we need to go out and reach him. There is someone at your job that is going through a divorce or going through the loss of a loved one and hurting, and there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no hope because they don't know. And you need to go out and reach them and give them the peace that only Jesus can give. There's a single mother somewhere in Jackson that just cannot seem to find the answers to the problem that she is facing. And she's searching in all the wrong places, and we must go out and tell her. Jesus went forth, and we must do the same. We must go out. We must decide as Christians to get out of the pew, to get out of our comfort zone, and reach this world for Jesus Christ. There is a greater need now than ever. Teenager, in your school, you can go out and reach people. You can give peace to your friends. You know, I have no doubt many of you have friends, people that you know, that are going through problems. I wouldn't doubt, and what I've dealt with as a youth pastor in the past few years, that you have friends that you know are cutting themselves because of stress and situation in their life. And are they going to find peace in cutting? Are they? No, they're not. You have the answer. And it's in the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ is the answer. Teenager, adult tonight, we must go forth as Jesus went forth. He went forth in his brokenness. You know, the best way to heal your broken heart is help somebody else pick up the pieces of theirs. Can I say that again? The best way to heal your broken heart, and I'm not dumb enough to think that there's people in here that everything's peachy keen and great. I have no doubt that there are struggles and trials, and I know there is, looking around the room. And maybe not personally for you, but you have people that you love and care about that are going through things, and you're carrying their burdens with you. The best way to heal your broken heart is help somebody else pick up the pieces of theirs. Oh, Jesus went forth. We must go forth. What else did he look at verse 2? Or look at the second phrase. Jesus went, verse 14, and Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude. All these people, multitude, we don't know exactly the number, but actually if you look down into the story, this is the feeding of the 5,000, so there's probably over 5,000 people there at least. And they followed him, and he says he went forth and he saw a great multitude. Many of us help in VBS. And we see the busloads come in and hundreds of kids and even on Sunday in this front row and people that you work with. Listen, sometimes we see people, but we don't really see them. Do you know what I mean? We see the front pew, but we don't really see them. We don't see them as Jesus sees them. Your coworkers, maybe you got a coworker that just frustrates you. I wouldn't doubt that. I had them when I worked at Turf Care. But we're not seeing them as Jesus sees them. We're not seeing them with the eyes of Christ. Hey, I'm not saying, listen, that it's always easy, but we must see them as Jesus sees them, as souls in need of a Savior, as broken people that cannot be fixed but by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. That is how we must see people. When you're in the checkout line at Meijer and the person behind you or in front of you just can't seem to get it together and you just get frustrated. Oh, that is not seeing people through the eyes of Christ. When you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you get ticked off. Listen, hey, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and I get frustrated. Hey, I'm not seeing them through the eyes of Christ as a soul that could possibly be on their way to hell. People in your school, teachers in your school, teenagers, that frustrate you. Are you seeing them as Jesus sees them? Family members that continually maybe fail us in our own minds, that always are wanting something, and we just see them as needy people who are always looking for a handout. Hey, listen, hey, I'm preaching to myself too, folks. We're not seeing them as Jesus Christ sees them. Behind that mask of neediness or looking for a handout, there is a broken person. Behind that little boy that sits in the front row that can't seem to behave, behind that misbehavior is a broken-hearted child with no father, with abuse in the house. Hey, we're not seeing them as Jesus sees them all the time, are we? We're not. We must see them as Jesus saw them. Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude. Sometimes we got to get our hands a little dirty to see them as Jesus sees them. I spoke with a lady tonight in our church that has been investing her time and effort and energy into another young lady in our church, and we were talking a little bit about it. And you know what she's doing? The reason she's investing her time and effort to really somebody that really can't give her anything back. She's seeing them as Jesus sees her. Listen, as a youth pastor, I must look at these teens, no matter how much they frustrate me sometimes. Amen. No, listen, hey, I must see them as Jesus sees them. I must see them as the Lord Jesus Christ. When he looks down from heaven, when he looks and sees the souls of this city and this church, in your workplace, in your school, in your family, are we seeing people as Jesus sees them? I know what helped me was going out and visiting. If we're talking about the bus ministry. Listen, it's the best way to understand why these kids may act the way they act or why they are such trouble sometimes, and they are, I'm not going to say they're not. You go out and knock on their door and visit them on a Saturday. You go visit them during the week in their home, and you'll begin to see them as Jesus sees them. In Massachusetts, when I was the bus director at Mountain View Baptist Church, so many times out in the bus route, and Holyoke is a different city than Jackson, a little bit smaller than Jackson, but a lot more gang violence and murder and things. My father's a police officer in Holyoke, and there's just so many things that went on. And many times when I'd get home from a Sunday on the bus, I'd say, yeah, you know, so-and-so came today, and I would tell my dad where they lived, and my dad said, oh my, I've been to that house before. I've been in that home before. I remember one time on my bus route, there had been a murder the night before, and they were still investigating, and the body was still there. In the homes, in the neighborhoods of these kids we were bringing on our bus. There were times when I had to file my own police reports because I heard or saw physical abuse on some of our little bus kids in Massachusetts. If you go out, sometimes it takes going out, hey, and investing yourself, and like I said, getting your hands a little dirty to see what they go through, to see that, listen, we face trials. Many of us who are adults, we face trials. Just imagine facing a dark, fiery trial when you're 6 years old. My. We must see them as Jesus sees them. He saw their need. He didn't see their problem. He didn't see their annoyance or what frustrated. No, he saw their need as sheep having no shepherd. I wouldn't doubt that if I asked right now how many's, if your life has been touched, I'll ask it. No, I'm just going to ask. If your life tonight has been touched in some way, maybe through your parents or yourself, but you were reached or your parents were reached or your grandparents by a soul winner, would you raise your hand up? In some way or another. And listen, the truth is, the farther back we go, grandparents, great-grandparents, every one of us was reached by somebody. Yeah. Maybe you say, well, I grew up in a Christian home. Well, then your parents reached you. We are all reached by somebody. And who are we reaching? Who is it in your life that God has placed there for you to invest? Yes, parents of teenagers, of kids, yes, your kids. But who else? Those whose kids are out of the home. Who has God placed in your life for you to invest your heart and your love and your time into? We must see them as Jesus sees them. Let's move on. The next phrase, verse 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. He went out. He saw them. And he didn't just walk away, but he was moved with compassion toward them. You study that word compassion, the literal definition in this verse, and this is what it said when I did the study. Literally, the word compassion, a motion of the stomach accompanied with extreme tenderness and concern which is felt at the sight of the miseries of others. That's what that word compassion means. Literally, looking out, seeing this great multitude, and literally, have you ever been in a situation where something happened and it made you feel sick? You're just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened. Some of you have gotten a phone call with bad news, and you just instantly just felt that sickness, or you saw someone going through something, and even in the pit of your stomach, you feel it. And that is how Jesus felt when he saw these people. Literally, pain, physical pain in his stomach as he looked out and saw the miseries of others, their need, how lost they were. And he was moved. He was moved, physically moved with compassion toward them. Jesus had compassion. All of us know somebody going through something. Maybe you're the one going through something, but all of us know somebody going through something. Maybe someone in this church, a friend of yours, a family member. Maybe someone, if you teach Sunday school in your class, or a coworker. We all know somebody going through something. And Jude 22 says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Yeah. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Love is the key to making a difference in someone's life. Love is the key to making a difference in someone's life. Listen, God made an eternal difference in your life because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you are saved tonight, if you are a Christian tonight, if you have a home in heaven tonight, it's because God loves you and he sent his Son to die for you. Love is the key to making a difference in someone's life. If you love, you can help people. But the problem is, many of us have a problem loving people, don't we? We have gotten so accustomed to seeing people not the way Jesus sees them. As, well, what do they want from me now? Right? Amen? Amen? Yes. Hey, I'm guilty of it too. What do they want from me now? What is it that they need now? Oh, if we saw people as Jesus sees them, there'd be a love, there'd be a compassion in our heart. And if we love, we can help people. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Now, here's the question. Are you? Are you? Am I? Because if I was not willing that any should perish, I'd probably be a better soul winner, wouldn't I? If you were not willing that any should perish, we'd probably be better soul winners. We'd probably make more of an effort to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only hope for this nation, the only hope for this city. Hey, the only hope for your coworkers and your family and your friends at school. Hey, the only hope is Jesus Christ. And he's not willing that they should perish, but are we? Are we? Are we okay? Are we okay with these kids in the front row living a life of misery and regrets and sin? Are we okay with our family members who are away from the Lord, or maybe they're not saved? Are we okay with them spending eternity in hell? Listen, I know the answer to that in our hearts is no, I'm not okay with that. Well, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? If we truly cared, we would do something. And like I said, folks, I'm preaching to myself tonight as well. Anytime I point at you, there's three fingers pointing back at me. Listen, what are we doing about it? He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And what did he do with the last phrase? We'll be done. I'll read the whole verse. Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He did something about it. He didn't just let that compassion sit there and say, oh, wow, man, they really need something, don't they? Well, see you later. No, he did something about it. And yes, we're talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We are not Jesus Christ. We need to strive to be like Christ. But listen, we don't save anybody. We don't save anybody. Jesus saves people. So we can't heal the sick, as I'm saying, but you know what? Hey, you know what? If I go to the hospital, emergency room, you know who's going to help me first? The nurse. The nurse is going to come in and hopefully have good bedside manner and take my vitals and ask some questions and say, the doctor will be with you shortly. And she's going to be right there by the doctor's side every time he comes in, helping, doing whatever need to be. And listen, Jesus Christ, God is the great physician, and we're just the help. We're just the aid, aren't we? Yes, we have the message. Jesus Christ is not walking the earth today. Listen, he lives in our heart. He has given us the answer to bring to other people. He's given us the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. No, we don't save anybody. No, we are not the great physician. But we assist the great physician by bringing the gospel, bringing the medicine, bringing the cure for this sin-sick world. It is our duty. It is our job. We get them ready to see the doctor, ready for healing, by sharing with them the Word of God and bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We plant seeds, many of us. Hey, many of you have family, you've been praying for them for years. Friends, you've been praying for years. Just keep planting seed. Hey, listen, Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, had compassion, and he healed their sick. He healed their sick. They needed something and he helped them. And it's our job as well to go out, see them as he sees them. Oh, listen, and as we see them as he sees them, compassion will come in on its own. And then we do something about it. The Bible says, God said, without me, you can do nothing. Listen, I know that in my own power, I can't accomplish anything for the Lord. I can't, not in my own power. With Jesus Christ, with God, oh, listen, I can help people. You can help people. You can reach people. You can invest in people. We can't really do one without the other in these four points. Listen, if we don't go out, then we're not going to see people. And if we don't see them, then there's never going to be compassion. And if there's no compassion, then we're never going to do anything. So listen, you need each one. We're not just going to go out immediately and just, we need to go out so that we can see them, so that we can have compassion on them, so that we can help them. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. You cannot do one without the other. If you look in Matthew 14, you'll see in verse 15 that the disciples were getting ready to send the people away. And Jesus said, they need not, in verse 16, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. 17, and they say to him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you know the story. Jesus performed a miracle and fed these thousands of people that night. And it all birthed from Jesus going apart to a desert place in sorrow. And then when they followed him, he went forth. And he saw the great multitude. And he was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And then when the disciples wanted to send them away, he said, no, let's feed them. And we have the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Because Jesus decided to go out. You know that if Jesus had decided not to, and listen, I know this is supposition, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but listen, let's say he didn't. Let's say the disciples sent him away and nothing. That 5,000 would still be hungry. You know what I'm getting at? The message tonight is this, the thought, and I gave the title at the end, the world is still hungry. The world is still hungry. And so often, like the disciples, we say, well, just send him away. Just send him away. Listen, it's getting late. Hey, you know what? I got this going on. Oh, send him away. And Jesus said, let's feed them. May we do our part. There's people all over this city, all over your workplace, all over your school that are on their way to hell. That are on their way to a real place called hell. Family members, moms, dads, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandkids, whatever it may be, on their way to a real, literal place of fire called hell. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? God can and will still work. He will perform miracles as he did. But are we willing to let him? Will we let him work a miracle in our life and someone else? Listen, folks. This city, your workplace, your school, they need you to be a testimony. They need you to be a testimony. God is not willing that any should perish, but are we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor Don, there's someone in my life, in the workplace, in my family, at school. There's someone that I know right now that is not saved. If they died today, they would spend forever in a place called hell. Would you raise your hand up so I can see it? Everybody, come on. Now, here's what I want you to do right now. Listen, the first step, we're not out with them right now, but you can pray. I challenge you right now. You raise your hand up. Why don't you bring their name to the throne of grace tonight? Before the piano begins to play, come right now. Come right now. Bring their name to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, please. Give me an opportunity to witness. Lord, give me an opportunity to tell them about your love, about your grace, about what you did on the cross for them. You raise your hand tonight and say, listen, I know someone that's lost. I know someone that's on the way to hell. I urge you, I challenge you right now, come down to this altar as the piano begins to play and lift their name to Jesus Christ. God can use you. Are our hearts broken? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, are our hearts broken for the lost? Are our hearts broken for this lost world? Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Bring their name to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God to help you to be a better witness. Hey, we could all use more courage. We could all use more knowledge. Hey, ask God for strength. We can't do it without him. We can't do it without him. Many are praying. Take your time. And may the prayers not stop at the altar, but tonight before you rest your head in the pillow, would you lift their name to Christ? Tomorrow when you wake up in the morning, would you lift their name to Christ? Hey, later on this week, would you lift their name to Christ? Ask God to soften their heart. Ask God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them. What are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? Hey, the Bible says our life is a vapor that vanisheth away. We don't have much time to reach people. May we be a witness for Jesus Christ. And as God said, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It is our job as Christians. It is our duty. It is the least we can do to bring someone the peace and grace that we were given. Why should we deserve it any more than them? We don't. We don't. Oh, may we be witnesses for Jesus Christ.